2. Post-Planetary Prince Man. With the arrival of the planetary prince, a new dispensation begins. Government appears on Earth, and the advanced tribal epoch is attained. Great social strides are made during a few thousand years of this regime. Under normal conditions, mortals attain a high state of civilization during this age. They do not struggle so long in barbarism as did the Urantia races. But life on an inhabited world is so changed by rebellion that you can have little or no idea of such a regime on a normal planet. The average length of this dispensation is around 500,000 years, some longer, some shorter. During this era, the planet is established in the circuits of the system, and a full quota of seraphic and other celestial helpers is assigned to its administration. The thought adjusters come in increasing numbers, and the seraphic guardians amplify their regime of mortal supervision. When the planetary prince arrives on a primitive world, the evolved religion of fear and ignorance prevails. The prince and his staff make the first revelations of higher truth and universe organization. These initial presentations of revealed religion are very simple, and they usually pertain to the affairs of a local system. Religion is wholly an evolutionary process prior to the arrival of the planetary prince. Subsequently, religion progresses by graduated revelation as well as by evolutionary growth. Each dispensation, each mortal epoch, receives an enlarged presentation of spiritual truth and religious ethics. The evolution of the religious capacity of receptivity in the inhabitants of a world largely determines their rate of spiritual advancement and the extent of religious revelation. This dispensation witnesses a spiritual dawn, and the different races and their various tribes tend to develop specialized systems of religious and philosophic thought. There are uniformly run through all of these racial religions two strains, the early fears of primitive men and the later revelations of the planetary prince. In some respects, Urantians do not seem to have wholly emerged from this stage of planetary evolution. As you pursue this study, you will the more clearly discern how far your world departs from the average course of evolutionary progress and development. But the planetary prince is not the prince of peace. Racial struggles and tribal wars continue over into this dispensation, but with diminishing frequency and severity. This is the great age of racial dispersion, and it culminates in a period of intense nationalism. Color is the basis of tribal and national groupings, and the different races often develop separate languages. Each expanding group of mortals tends to seek isolation. This segregation is favored by the existence of many languages. Before the unification of the several races, their relentless warfare sometimes results in the obliteration of whole peoples. The orange and green men are particularly subject to such extinction. On average worlds, during the latter part of the prince's rule, national life begins to replace tribal organization, or rather to be superimposed upon the existing tribal groupings. But the great social achievement of the prince's epoch is the emergence of family life. Heretofore, human relationships have been chiefly tribal. Now the home begins to materialize. This is the dispensation of the realization of sex equality. On some planets, the male may rule the female. On others, the reverse prevails. During this age, the normal worlds establish full equality of the sexes, this being preliminary to the fuller realization of the ideals of home life. This is the dawn of the golden age of the home. The idea of tribal rule gradually gives way to the dual concept of national life and family life. During this age, agriculture makes its appearance. The growth of the family idea is incompatible with the roving and unsettled life of the hunter. Gradually, the practices of settled habitations and the cultivation of the soil become established. The domestication of animals and the development of home arts proceed apace. Upon reaching the apex of biologic evolution, a high level of civilization has been attained, but there is little development of a mechanical order. Invention is the characteristic of the succeeding age. The races are purified and brought up to a high state of physical perfection and intellectual strength before the end of this era. The early development of a normal world is greatly helped by the plan of promoting the increase of the higher types of mortals with proportionate curtailment of the lower. And it is the failure of your early peoples to thus discriminate between these types that accounts for the presence of so many defective and degenerate individuals among the present-day Urantia races. One of the great achievements of the Age of the Prince is this restriction of the multiplication of mentally defective and socially unfit individuals. Long before the times of the arrival of the second sons, the Adams, most worlds seriously address themselves to the tasks of race purification, something which the Urantia peoples have not even yet seriously undertaken. This problem of race improvement is not such an extensive undertaking when it is attacked at this early date in human evolution. The preceding period of tribal struggles and rugged competition in race survival has weeded out most of the abnormal and defective strains. An idiot does not have much chance of survival in a primitive and warring tribal social organization. It is the false sentiment of your partially perfected civilizations that fosters, protects, and perpetuates the hopelessly defective strains of evolutionary human stocks. It is neither tenderness nor altruism to bestow futile sympathy upon degenerated human beings, unsalvable, abnormal, and inferior mortals. There exist on even the most normal of the evolutionary worlds sufficient differences between individuals and between numerous social groups to provide for the full exercise of all those noble traits of altruistic sentiment and unselfish mortal ministry without perpetuating the socially unfit and the morally degenerate strains of evolving humanity. There is abundant opportunity for the exercise of tolerance and the function of altruism in behalf of those unfortunate and needy individuals who have not irretrievably lost their moral heritage and forever destroyed their spiritual birthright.